Hey y'all, Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze.
Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
It is now 10:07. Welcome, everyone. Thank you for sticking and staying during these hours. Of course, you know, we had a game on tonight, and I'm sure Jonathan was having a great time. Hey, Jonathan, how you doing?
I'm all right. A little bit, trying to get everything together for this last hour, but we got to get it going because we got a guest on for you, especially for you.
Michael Battle.
Hello, hello.
Hey, now.
After 3 weeks.
Yeah, 3 weeks of being gone. It's so good to hear your voice.
Wonderful to be here. Thank you so much. This is great. I feel like it has been forever. And
it feels like that to Jonathan and I. And, you know, he's like, I told him last week, I said, oh, you know, Michael's not coming that night either. He says, oh, yeah. It's like, where did he go? Did he fly to Australia? Where did he go?
It was a combination of things. I had to go to a wedding in Vegas. And then there was a VIP tour at Disneyland. And there was one other thing that maybe was work-related. I'm forgetting. Anyway, those things have been weirdly in the same month, 3 weekends, back to back. But we're here now. It's good. We're back.
Yeah, and I appreciate you letting me know about it early. Really appreciate that, Michael, so I can let everybody know, especially leadership. So, okay, first of all, we want to start out by saying welcome back. It's really, really good to hear your voice, and you sound great. It sounds like you've had 3 Sundays off that did you some good.
Do I? Because I was out last night. I mean, I think I sound a little hoarse from living my absolute best life. A friend of mine who had moved away, just moved back to L.A., and it was like, you're back. And so we went out like old times. So that is very impressive because, you know, I had a great weekend, but restful is not the word I would use to describe it.
Right. Well, you know, that's kind of your M.O., right?
It
you
is.
Know, when the weekend hits, it's like a whole nother life for you.
It is. I work. I mean, you know this. I work very hard. I work very long hours. And, you know, now I have a little bit of a respite at work. And I have a bit more time. I can kind of process my thoughts and I can go see friends and do things. And so it has been a wonderful time this past, I'd say, especially 2 weeks, really just being able to kind of enjoy myself and go out and eat a bunch of food and work out and self-care and all those things that I wasn't able to do while working the last, I'd say, 4 months in a row.
Oh, I think it was more than 4 months. Come on.
I was trying to be nice. I don't want to throw them under the bus. But, yeah, it was like 6 months.
Yeah. But, you know. It's amazing to me how many people don't take some of their vacations. And a lot of times when it's a corporation, you know, some of their employees that just don't take them, it's because they say when they leave for 2 weeks, they come back and they have a mess at their desk and they have more work to do. They have to stay longer hours to get it all cleaned up. Do you agree with that?
I mean, yeah, it's a very American thing. There's been books and articles written about this at length, why Americans are so hesitant to take their vacation. That is very much what you were just saying, that, you know, if they do leave, there's a mess there. But also culturally, we just don't have ingrained in our culture the idea that it's okay to step away. Obviously, we all talk about vacations and how wonderful they are. We all want to go on them and, you know, dream of going on these amazing long vacations. But in reality, we don't. And of course, The new thing, newish that came up about, 15 years ago, was unlimited vacation, you know, especially with tech companies like Netflix and others. They would hire, top performing employees and say, you have unlimited vacation. But of course, they've shown now that people actually take less vacation when they have unlimited vacation than they do when they have their usual 2+ weeks. Because everyone's saying, oh, well, you could leave, but you don't. You don't want to seem that you are abusing the policy, so people actually work more.
If you are given three, look, I've never received 3 weeks off the whole time I've been on radio. And when I think about the jobs I've had in my life, I have never been given 3 weeks. even a year. Never, ever. So I can't even imagine it. In my mind, in my head, I keep saying to myself, please, somebody give me 2 weeks. I'll be grateful for 2 weeks.
You know? Which is standard. And I have not had that. But, you know, I have friends that work at these companies that have those policies, and across the board, people just don't take vacation as much because the culture is people don't want to be seen as if they are abusing it or seen as if they're taking, you know, vacation when they shouldn't. So everyone just works more and more and more. But also, the good part of this, you know, is when you work on cool stuff, you want it to go well. And as you know, I was working on the Lord of the Rings of Power, the new TV show that just premiered episode 8, the last episode of the season. I think it came out the 14th of October. So part of my respite is that, you know, the show has launched, or rather not launched, it is done for the season. But when you're working on something as cool as that, I want it to go well. I have a personal investment in that. I'm wanting that to go well. The part that I have, my small part in that very large machine that is Lord of the Rings. So that's, you know, I'm a huge fan of the franchise. And so, yeah, I worked really hard and didn't take care of myself the best. But I also chose to make sure that things went well because I wanted to do a great job.
Well, obviously you did, and thank goodness that you did. Here's the problem, though, for me. You see so many people that don't take those vacations, and I don't know how corporations stop that. I don't hear from people that I know that work in some really great Fortune 500, Fortune 50 companies that say, yeah, you know, I'm going to take these 3 weeks finally this year, but then they come back early. And I keep asking myself, why do you do that? You deserve a break. Other countries look at us like we're crazy, Michael. They really
well, we are.
Do. They think,
we
you know, are. How is it Americans don't even take the vacations that they have been given? That is not my problem.
Mean,
if WCCO ever wrote me and said, Geraldine, you deserve a month off, oh, and with pay, oh, my God. God, my toes will be
you,
in
right?
the hand. Look, my toes will be in the hands of a manicurist or a foot massage or something. I would leave town. I would go visit all the people I haven't seen, but I've talked to them, but I have not been in their presence. There's nothing like living a life with real people around you, right? And there's so
for
many
sure.
people that are digging into their condos and apartments and homes, and they don't see anybody but their children and spouse. They don't go because they're so terrified. Oh, my God, I'm going to come back to a ton of work. So let me tell you, CCO, if you're listening, please know that if Geraldine was to ever receive 3 weeks off. Hey, no. How about Geraldine receives 2 weeks off? No, wait. How about Geraldine receives 1 week off? I've never had that.
That's
and
true.
I've been there 23 years because I'm only on Sundays, right?
Mm-hmm. That's
but, yeah,
true.
If they were to write me or call me and say, Geraldine, we'd like for you to have 3 weeks off. My God. I would be looking up going, where's Jesus? I know Jesus
but
is
wait,
here.
But wait, this whole conversation is very typical of Americans. We always talk big talk about we go on these vacations or we save up our vacation days and say we're going to use them. And to your point with your friend, when they had 3 weeks and they left and came back early, you know, you say you'll do all these things, but you actually could do those things on weekends or you could take, you know, a weekend off and take that time to go do all the things you just said, but you don't.
Because a weekend, 3 days. That's what people do. Excuse me for interrupting. People go to their cabins on a weekend, right? Which they are so blessed to be able to do that. But if you want a vacation, I believe it should be longer than three. Now, some people will say, some Americans will say, no, you know, you have a job. You need to tend to that, you know,
because there will be
benefits later on. I don't even know if I would get pension or anything like that just for being on radio for like 30 years. I don't think so. I have to look into that.
I don't know, but
I'm just looking for a vacation. And I'm not talking, I get a vacation day. Don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't get a vacation week or
right.
2 weeks or 3 weeks. And you get how many weeks?
Normal two.
Wow.
Yeah, which my whole career and then post-production, I've had 2 week vacation, which I'm very thankful for. I almost always take those 2 weeks for Christmas time to come home for the holidays and see my family and whatever else. And that's my big vacation. But as of late, and going back to the beginning of our conversation, Since I don't take vacations mid-year, and it is always the holidays, I take little mini weekend vacations. So, you know, I'm still in L.A., or I went to a wedding in Vegas, and it was for their wedding, and they love each other. Oh, we love you too, but we're also in Vegas. So I'm going to make this a mini vacation.
Yeah, you know, and that's done, awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah,
I'm really grateful you do that.
We've done Palm Springs for 2 days, like literally drive in Saturday morning and drive back Sunday evening. So I will fit in a very busy, very fun weekend, and then, you know, just try to get something in there so I have more energy come Monday for work.
All I know is if you guys are going to Palm Springs and I don't have a vacation and I say to myself, I'm going to go to Palm Springs and see if I can find them. And then there I am sitting in a, you know, a lawn chair on the sand trying to see what car you're in. I would be really ticked off. I just want you to know that, you know, so if you're going, so at least you enjoy should say at some point in time in life, hey, do you think your mom would want to go?
You're always welcome to go. Literally, pick a weekend you want to go to Palm Springs. We'll meet you there.
See, that's like my nephew who said to me when he was about 7 years old, Auntie, yeah, you know, I really want you to live near me. He said this to his grandmother, too, your grandmother. And he said, you know, Grandma, I want you to live near me. You know, whenever I grow up, I want you right there near my house. And then the next 3 years, he goes, Grandma, I want you right in the state where I am so that I can come visit you. And by the time he got to number three, Mom was like, that's okay. That's okay.
Don't finish that thought. I think he started off saying he wants to like have her live in the same house, like buy her a house and then she can live right there. And then went from like in the house to in the city to like, I will come visit you. I will fly to where you are. Like, I'll get a plane ticket.
Yeah, but that's not your story, is it?
You know what I call that for your nephew and your cousin? I call that intelligence. Your relative is getting more and more intelligent by the year.
Does cancel, what do they call it, cancel culture, does that still happen?
Is it about to happen to Jonathan?
I'm thinking so.
Like, is that a full thing?
This is not, Jonathan, this is not the best
kidding.
Thing to say to the person that holds the
Jonathan.
Buttons, that pushes the buttons. Not
you
the best
are,
thing to
are,
say.
You are viable,
yeah,
honey.
He indeed pushes buttons. That's a good description of what's happening right now.
Fair point, okay, sir. Touche. Fair point.
Yeah, fair point. Is it time to take a break, Jonathan?
Yes, let's do so.
Okay, we'll be right back, everyone. Stay tuned.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is now 10:24 here at WCCO. My goodness, I have missed you tonight. And of course, with the games going on, I want to quickly get an update from Jonathan Lowe. Jonathan, I understand that we won.
Yes, Timberwolves won tonight, 116-106. They are now 2-1 on the season. They've beaten Oklahoma City twice in the span of about 5 days. And their next game is tomorrow. Give me a second here.
Okay. It's just so cool, Michael, that we're winning. You don't know, man. You know?
When we win, I get excited. It's a big deal. I know. I've been gone for a while from the Twin Cities. I've been in California. But I understand when the teams win there, it's a big deal.
It's a big deal.
Yes.
All right,
so,
Jonathan, is that true? Go ahead.
So the next game... Oh, why isn't this coming up? I believe it is tomorrow night at it's Tuesday. They will be in Phoenix to take on the Suns, and that'll be a late game, so 9 p.m. start for the Timberwolves, 8:30 pregame. So Tuesday night will be the next game.
Thank you so much for that. You know, the thing for me, Michael, is that these players, I don't know how they get enough rest. you know, especially when it comes to baseball. Baseball is insane how many games they have to play. And I work, you know, I sit there and I think, what do their families think about them going this far and having to do this many games? It's got to be a trip. And that's why I kind of, I have to admit this. I think I've admitted it to you before, but I want to apologize, Michael, because I was the one who would not take you to a hockey game. I would introduce you to the families of those that were hockey players. And that was because I didn't want to be a hockey mom. Isn't that awful?
It's funny because the life of a hockey mom means you have, you know, that they have a huge bag with all of the equipment and the giant hockey sticks. And it's just, there's a lot of, you know, carrying heavy things from, and the huge van, you know, load everything in and then like have to put all the equipment on, the protection. It's a lot to be a hockey mom. But then I became a magician that involves multiple trunks of magic props, entire wardrobes of costumes, a whole station wagon car full of things that had to get loaded in and out of every location for every show. And you became my assistant for a summer, which was a beautiful time for the two of us. But, you know,
I never fit in the box, though. You had those boxes, man, and I never fit in the box. And I kept saying to you, you know, I'm never going to fit in that box. So you would always find some delicate young girl or young woman who would come and help out. They would be able to make that illusion happen.
Your mom would still be
in that box today. She would still be. I would still be in the box.
Although, I will say, Rachel was not delicate. She was brilliant. She made that whole system and show work well. Because, you know, I used to always forget things. You would help me make a checklist, but I feel like her checklist was the one I actually used, because I listened to her a bit more. Because, you know, your mom is always right. You can't listen to your mom. But she came in and was like, you leaving things at home, that has to stop. And she'd make a checklist of things I had to bring to try to get me together. So she was amazing.
Rachel saved me. She did.
No, she
that
saved
girl,
me because...
look at here. She came and got in the box. Enough said. And guess what? She got out the box just seconds later.
That's true.
It's just
but,
so
no,
I feel so special. I should send her some cookies or something. So there you go. Okay, so any minute, Michael, you don't know this, but Jonathan's going to tell us that we have to stop talking because we had to take a break.
Well, here's the thing. I want you to note this, and Geraldine, you will be happy about this. I was wrong. I was wrong when I was talking about the next Timberwolves game. I was looking at next week and not this week. Actually, the Timberwolves play San Antonio here tomorrow night. So you can listen in at 7 o'clock, that's when the game starts, or 6:30 for the pregame. So you can revel in the fact, Geraldine, that I was wrong. Tune in tomorrow night for the San Antonio Spurs versus the Timberwolves, not Tuesday. That's not going to happen.
Dun, 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 dun.
Why'd you just play like the Death March?
Oh, that couldn't have been the Death March.
That was the Death song.
Couldn't have been.
Yes. You're
no, seriously, it couldn't. I would never have wished that on you.
Uh-huh. Well, it was, but it is Halloween nearly, so I guess it's apropos. Halloween, the holiday that I tend to skip. But you know,
You tend to skip?
I enjoy it. I go to Halloween parties. I used to go to the West Hollywood Halloween Carnival, one of the largest the second largest in the country, which is now canceled. As in, the city isn't putting it on anymore.
Wow. Okay, hold that thought. We have to take a break. We'll be right back. Wow, if this doesn't sound like Halloween, what does? What song is that?
This is a timely one, too, because this was one done by a gentleman you know by the name of Will Smith called Nightmare on My Street.
Do you remember that, Michael?
Nightmare on His Street. You mean the Oscars for him last year? Sure, yeah.
No. Oh, ouch.
Ding, 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 ding.
If you could have seen our faces, even though I wasn't in the studio, Jonathan was in the studio when that happened, Michael. And let me tell you, I said, Jonathan, you got to send it to me. You got to tell me what link to go to. And I couldn't believe it when I saw it. I still don't believe it. I still believe they set that whole thing up.
They didn't. He's just a fool. There was no setup. He just made really bad choices.
Okay.
Halloween. Okay. Let me just preface this. I really enjoy Halloween normally. I go to all the parties. I get dressed up in costumes. Although, again, as a person who wears costumes on stage professionally, you would think I'd have more costumes. And I never do. Every year I put something together last minute out of things that I own. And cause I don't want to wear, like, the expensive costumes I wear on stage to a party because then it might get messed up. So I enjoy Halloween. And we have the West Hollywood Halloween Carnival here, which is the second largest Halloween carnival in the country. I believe the first largest is in Texas. Of course, this is all before the pandemic.
You talking about the Halloween celebration?
Halloween Carnival, yeah.
Oh, I don't know about carnival, but we have, like, in Anoka, Minnesota, the biggest Halloween, period.
Is it decorations or is it like a party outdoors?
I didn't see it. Have you been, Jonathan?
I haven't been to that, but I know what you're talking about, and I don't know what they – I know they have a parade up there.
Yep, it's huge.
Yeah,
huge.
And I know they have one of those things where they call it basically like the center – the biggest celebration of Halloween in the country, but I'll have to pinpoint that. Let me look for that.
I mean, it's funny because I could be mixing up my factoids because I think the state fair is the second largest state fair in the country, and Texas has the first. It could be that Anoka is the largest Halloween carnival, and
no, the West Hollywood. I think I remember what they call. I think they call it the Halloween capital of the world. I think that's what they call it.
Yeah, that's what they call it.
The point is, as I think I mentioned a couple times ago, we used to have this amazing street carnival. I shouldn't call it a carnival because it's around all the bars. But the streets get closed down, and about 600,000 people in costumes descend upon West Hollywood and make the streets into a giant party. It is awesome. But during the pandemic, it got canceled for obvious reasons. And then the city of West Hollywood just decided we aren't going to bring it back because people were getting injured. I mean, it's a lot of people to keep safe, and it just, I think, got too expensive and too stressful for them to actually try to maintain that festival. So I mentioned that to say I would go to that. I'd be in a sea of people. It was a blast. So I do enjoy Halloween, but post-2020, my tolerance for scary things, which was already pretty low, like I don't like watching scary movies, is even lower. So much so that like I had to skip out on events or certain things that we would go to because Joey loves Halloween. I told him, I said, I can't do it this year because it's traumatic. So I just tapped out. I couldn't go see the scary movies that he wanted to go see. I'm really, really sorry. So Joey has been going to go see scary movies and go to scary things with our friends who like scary things. And I tapped out, and I just can't wait to watch Disney's Coco on the 1st, which is my new thing. Ever since that film came out, I watched Coco on the 1st. I'm just looking forward to that. I'm like, the music's already playing. I'm ready for that time of year. I'm good at that. Like, warmth and holidays and family and Christmas. We can just skip the scary stuff, please.
Yeah, by the way, Smithsonian Magazine said that for the past 99 years, Anoka, Minnesota has been celebrating Halloween like no other city in the world. No other city in the country or the world Halloween quite like Anoka, Minnesota.
I found also a short little blurb on this on a website called AFARAfar.com. I guess it's a magazine. Anoka is believed to be the first city in the country to host a Halloween celebration. In 1920, the city threw a parade and bonfire, not to highlight a haunted history, but because the town was getting trashed. A century ago, Halloween was a day for kids to pull pranks around town, and the Minnesota suburb got hit with loose cows, tipped outhouses, and chickens and wheelbarrows on roofs every year.
Too many loose cows.
The things you learn from history.
Get these kids back in here around the bonfire where they're warm. No more loose cows. Chickens on my roof? I can't. Bonfire it is.
I have never been. I've never been to the Halloween celebration in Anoka, and
the Halloween celebration
won't, unfortunately.
The Halloween festival in Anoka, brought to you by Old School Skullduggery. Now instead, a carnival. Tired of tomfoolery?
Yeah, maybe it should be called a carnival. Maybe. I don't know.
Well,
it's creepy.
No,
Every time I went to New Orleans, it was creepy.
It's not a carnival.
But New Orleans is not like, it's one of those cities when they do in February, what is it called? When they throw out the beads and that sort of
carnival.
Thing. Carnival. Okay, so.
And Mardi Gras. Carnival is Brazil. That's Rio.
That's right.
Mardi Gras is New Orleans.
Right. And of course, that's not my thing, but, they really do stick to their spookiness in New Orleans, even when it's not time to be spooky.
Can I say something? I don't consider New Orleans is like a different country. New Orleans is, there are a few cities in this country that have a distinct feel that you can't find anywhere else. New Orleans is one. I think Miami is another. Seattle might be another. It's rare places like that, but New Orleans is an enclave onto itself.
Wait, what? No. The degree to which I disagree with you is extreme. No. Seattle? Come on. Seattle feels like someone spent $10 billion to build something new. It is one of the cleanest, glossiest. It looks like a really high-end shopping mall that happens to be a city. So I don't think it has a feeling unlike any other because it feels kind of like Hong Kong, but minus the history and the character.
I disagree. I didn't live in Seattle, but I lived in the Northwest for a while, and you get a different feel. Portland and Seattle, you have different feels in those cities than you do in a lot of other places. And I think when you go down to like Pike's Market and you go around the Space Needle and that, it's a different vibe. I think it's a different vibe.
Portland feels like progressive Georgia. And New Orleans, well, I won't say that. I'm not a big New Orleans fan, but I have many friends who go there and love it. So I've told them all. Like, I've been twice. And I say, you know what, next time I go, I want to go with you. I want to go with locals who know the restaurants, who know where all the great music is. I want to experience it through their eyes because the more touristy versions I've seen, the versions that involve me there for work, which is why I was there both times, I didn't like this city. I didn't like the feeling. It has a weight to it. But that could have just been me because I was working and I was alone, and it was just not the best time in my life. So I'm looking forward to going back to it.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but that's when you recorded or filmed. What was the name of the Imagination?
Yeah. So first time I did a guest star on Disney's Imagination Movers, which I was very thankful to do. And it was a really cool thing to do. But as you know, Mom, when you're an actor, you travel to some location and then you're put in an extended stay hotel, which I was there for a week. And you have per diem, so you can go out and buy food and do whatever else, but you don't know anyone there. And it's a guest star, so you aren't really in town long enough to bond with the crew. You aren't bringing people with you. You're just by yourself. So I was a young person in a new city with a rental car in the middle of nowhere. And I went out and did some things, but I don't like being alone. So for me, it just wasn't as fun. And the second time I was there, I was on set when I was the executive assistant to Forrest Whitaker, and that also was work-related. And there was two of us who were the assistants, so we hung out together, kind of. But we had very, very little time. It was all really stressful. It was just not. It was a very negative experience, end to end. So I think my emotions tainted my view of that city, and I'm looking forward to maybe seeing it through a new lens.
And that's when you picked up Sanaa Lathan, I think, right?
Yes. Yeah, so I mean, I won't go into details of what that was like, but yeah, I was with all the actors who were in that movie and, doing it for that job. So it was, I don't know.
Somebody, what's his last first name? Epps?
Mike Epps. Yeah, it was the whole cast of the film. So I'll go back, but I'm not rushing to go back to that city. But I will say, me bringing back the reference to the House of Mouse, Club 33 is in New Orleans Square in Disneyland. So the street where it exists, as you know, Mom, looks like New Orleans. And I love that part of Disneyland. It's really wonderful. And the whole theming of Club 33 is in that vibe. So the contrived version of it for me is really wonderful. So maybe if I find some of those elements in the real version that are less touristy, maybe I'll enjoy it more.
Okay, so the pictures I just saw tonight, in fact, of you guys at Club 33, and you had on this amazing black full length, dolman sleeve, sequin, I don't know what you call it, cape or something like that. And you had on the sequin pants and, you know, you were with other people. And I literally put my finger on your face and prayed for you. I did. Because some of that, see that laugh? You hear that laugh? Okay. Okay.
I'm laughing because I knew you were going to have the reaction. Okay. Let me first give
you
some
did?
Context here. It was Madame Leota's masquerade ball. Madame Leota is the, she's a character in the Haunted Mansion ride, a very, very famous floating head in the Haunted Mansion ride, which is, you know, one of our favorite rides in the park, especially Joey's. And I love it because I've been on it so many times with him and he loves it. So the theme of it, obviously for Halloween time, was her and its tarot cards and its magic and its Halloween and ghosts. And so the whole thing has kind of a spookier feeling to it. But that's how the ride was themed back in the day, because it's supposed to be a haunted mansion. It's supposed to be scary. So yeah, it should be a little edgy. I think the pictures I posted, which you can see on Instagram at Michael Battle LA, the pictures I posted, I think, were very on brand for me from back in the day, because there was a photo op that was the cutout of a tarot card, right? They had four different ones, and you could stand in there and look like you were on your own tarot card, which I've never even had a tarot card reading. Not a thing that I participate in personally, just, you know, not my thing, but it was the magician.
Listeners, I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore, where people tell interesting stories about their family history, and then we investigate the truth behind them. Family Lore is available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Wow, if this doesn't sound like Halloween, what does? What song is that?
This is a timely one, too, because this was one done by a gentleman you know by the name of Will Smith called Nightmare on My Street.
Do you remember that, Michael?
Nightmare on His Street. You mean the Oscars for him last year? Sure, yeah.
No. Oh, ouch.
Ding, 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 ding.
If you could have seen our faces, even though I wasn't in the studio, Jonathan was in the studio when that happened, Michael. And let me tell you, I said, Jonathan, you got to send it to me. You got to tell me what link to go to. And I couldn't believe it when I saw it. I still don't believe it. I still believe they set that whole thing up.
They didn't. He's just a fool. There was no setup. He just made really bad choices.
Okay.
Halloween. Okay. Let me just preface this. I really enjoy Halloween normally. I go to all the parties. I get dressed up in costumes. Although, again, as a person who wears costumes on stage professionally, you would think I'd have more costumes. And I never do. Every year I put something together last minute out of things that I own. And cause I don't want to wear, like, the expensive costumes I wear on stage to a party, because then it might get messed up.
Right.
So I enjoy Halloween, and we have the West Hollywood Halloween Carnival here, which is the second largest Halloween carnival in the country. I believe the first largest is in Texas. Of course, this is all before the pandemic.
You talking about the Halloween celebration?
Halloween Carnival, yeah.
Oh, I don't know about carnival, but we have, like, in Anoka, Minnesota, the biggest Halloween, period.
Is it decorations or is it like a party outdoors?
I didn't see it. Have you been, Jonathan?
I haven't been to that, but I know what you're talking about, and I don't know what they... I know they have a parade up there.
Yep, it's huge.
Yeah,
huge.
And I know they have one of those things where they call it basically like the center, the biggest celebration of Halloween in the country, but I'll have to pinpoint that. Let me look for that.
I mean, it's funny because I could be mixing up my factoids, because I think the state fair is the second largest state fair in the country, and Texas has the first. It could be that Anoka is the largest Halloween carnival, and
no,
the West Hollywood.
I think I remember what they call it. I think they call it the Halloween capital of
right.
the world.
I think that's what they call it. Yeah, that's what they call it.
The point is, as I think I mentioned a couple times ago, we used to have this amazing street carnival. I shouldn't call it a carnival because it's around all the bars. But the streets get closed down, and about 600,000 people in costumes descend upon West Hollywood and make the streets into a giant party. It is awesome. But during the pandemic, it got canceled for obvious reasons. And then the city of West Hollywood just decided we aren't going to bring it back because people were getting injured. I mean, it's a lot of people to keep safe. And it just, I think, got too expensive and too stressful for them to actually try to maintain that festival. So I mentioned that to say I would go to that. I'd be in a sea of people. It was a blast. So I do enjoy Halloween. But post 2020, my tolerance for scary things, which was already pretty low, like I don't like watching scary movies, is even lower. So much so that like I had to skip out on events or certain things that we would go to because Joey loves Halloween. And I told him, I said, I can't do it this year because it's traumatic. So I just tapped out. I couldn't go see the scary movies that he wanted to go see. I'm really, really sorry. So Joey has been going to go see scary movies and go to scary things with our friends who like scary things. And I tapped out. And I just can't wait to watch Disney's Coco on the 1st, which is my new thing. Ever since that film came out, I watched Coco on the 1st. I'm just looking forward to that. I'm like, the music's already playing. I'm ready for that time of year. I'm good at that. Like, warmth and holidays and family and Christmas. We can just skip the scary stuff, please.
Yeah, by the way, Smithsonian Magazine said that for the past 99 years, Anoka, Minnesota has been celebrating Halloween like no other city in the world. No other city in the country or the world Halloween quite like Anoka, Minnesota.
I found also a short little blurb on this on a website called AFARAFAR.com. I guess it's a magazine. Anoka is believed to be the first city in the country to host a Halloween celebration. In 1920, the city threw a parade and bonfire, not to highlight a haunted history, but because the town was getting trashed. A century ago, Halloween was a day for kids to pull pranks around town, and the Minnesota suburb got hit with loose cows, tipped out houses, and chickens and wheelbarrows on roofs every year.
Too many loose cows.
The things you learn from history.
Get these kids back in here around the bonfire where they're warm. No more loose cows. Chickens on my roof? I can't. Bonfire it is.
I have never been. I've never been to the Halloween celebration in Anoka, and
the Halloween celebration
won't, unfortunately.
The Halloween festival in Anoka, brought to you by Old School Skullduggery. Now instead, a carnival. Tired of tomfoolery?
Yeah, maybe it should be called a carnival. Maybe, I don't know.
Well,
it's creepy.
No,
Every time I went to New Orleans, it was creepy.
It's not a carnival.
And New Orleans is not. Yeah, but New Orleans is not like. It's one of those cities when they do in February, what is it called? When they throw out the beads and that sort of
carnival.
Thing. Carnival. Okay, so.
And Mardi Gras. No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Carnival is Brazil. That's Rio.
That's right.
Mardi Gras is New Orleans.
Mm-hmm. Right. And of course, that's not my thing,
Mom.
But, they really do stick to their spookiness in New Orleans, even when it's not time to be spooky.
Can I say something? I don't consider New Orleans. New Orleans is like a different country. New Orleans is there are few cities in this country that have a distinct feel that you can't find anywhere else. New Orleans is one. I think Miami is another. Seattle might be another. It's rare places like that, but New Orleans is an enclave onto itself.
Wait, what? No. The degree to which I disagree with you is extreme. No. Seattle? Come on. Seattle feels like someone spent $10 billion to build something new. It is one of the cleanest, glossiest. It looks like a really high-end shopping mall that happens to be a city. So I don't think it has a feeling unlike any other because it feels kind of like Hong Kong, but minus the history and the character.
I disagree. I didn't live in Seattle, but I lived in the Northwest for a while, and you get a different feel. Portland and Seattle, you have different feels in those cities than you do in a lot of other places. And I think when you go down to like Pike's Market and you go around the Space Needle and that, it's a different vibe. I think it's a different vibe.
Portland feels like progressive Georgia. And New Orleans, well, I won't say that. I'm not a big New Orleans fan, but I have many friends who go there and love it. So I've told them all, I've been twice. And I say, you know what, next time I go, I want to go with you. I want to go with the locals who know the restaurants, who know where all the great music is. I want to experience it through their eyes, because the more touristy versions I've seen, the versions that involved me there for work, which is why I was there both times, I didn't like the city. I didn't like the feeling. It has a weight to it, but that could have just been me, because I was working and I was alone, and it was just not the best time in my life. So I'm looking forward to going back.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but that's when you recorded or filmed. What was the name of the Imagination?
Yeah. So first time I did a guest star on Disney's Imagination Movers, which I was very thankful to do, and it was a really cool thing to do. But as you know, Mom, when you're an actor, you travel to some location and then you're put in an extended stay hotel, which I was there for a week. And you have per diem, so you can go out and buy food and do whatever else, but you don't know anyone there. And it's a guest star, so you aren't really in town long enough to bond with the crew. You aren't bringing people with you. You're just by yourself. So I was a young person in a new city with a rental car in the middle of nowhere. And I went out and did some things, but I don't like being alone. So for me, it just wasn't as fun. And the second time I was there, I was on set when I was the executive assistant to Forrest Whitaker, and that also was work-related, and there was two of us who were the assistants, so we hung out together, kind of, but we had very, very little time. It was all really stressful. It was just it was a very negative experience end to end. So I think both my emotions tainted my view of that city, and I'm looking forward to maybe seeing it through a new lens.
And that's when you picked up Sanaa Lathan, I think, right?
Yes. So, I mean, I won't go into details of what that was like, but yeah, I was with all the actors who were in that movie and, you know, doing it for that job. So it was, I don't know.
Somebody, Epps, what's his last first name? Epps?
Mike Epps. Yeah, it was the whole cast of the film. So I'll go back, but I'm not rushing to go back to that city. But I will say, you know, me bringing back the reference to the House of Mouse, Club 33 is in New Orleans Square in Disneyland. So the street where it exists, as you know, Mom, looks like New Orleans. And I love that part of Disneyland. It's really wonderful. And the whole theming of Club 33 is in that vibe. So the contrived version of it for me is really wonderful. So maybe if I find some of those elements in the real version that are less touristy, maybe I'll enjoy it more.
Okay, so the pictures I just saw tonight, in fact, of you guys at Club 33, and you had on this amazing black full-length dolman sleeve sequin, I don't know what you call it, cape or something like that, and you had on the sequin pants, and, you know, you were with other people, and I literally put my finger on your face and prayed for you. I did. Because some of that, see that laugh? You hear that laugh? Okay.
I'm laughing because I knew you were going to have the reaction. Okay, let me first give you some context here. It was Madame Leota's masquerade ball. Madame Leota is she's a character in the Haunted Mansion ride, a very, very famous floating head in the Haunted Mansion ride, which is, you know, one of our favorite rides in the park, especially Joey's, and I love it because I've been on it so many times with him and he loves it. So the theme of it, obviously, for Halloween time was her and its tarot cards and its magic and it's Halloween and ghosts. And so the whole thing has kind of a spookier feeling to it. But that's how the ride was themed back in the day, because it's supposed to be a haunted mansion, supposed to be scary. So yeah, it should be a little edgy. I think the pictures I posted, which you can see on Instagram at Michael Battle LA, the pictures I posted, I think, were very on brand for me from back in the day, because there was a photo op that was the cutout of a tarot card, right? They had four different ones, and you could stand in there and look like you were on your own tarot card, which I've never even had a tarot card reading. Not a thing that I participate in personally, just, you know, not my thing. But it was the magician. So I'm like, well, I got to do this. There's a giant frame that says take a picture of yourself that says the magician is like, narcissism times two, let's do this, please. And the picture was great. So yeah, I love those pictures. They were very, very popular online. I got to wear a crazy sparkly costume, as you just described, in the parks, which normally you can't really do. And I got to walk through Disneyland in that sparkly cape and with those pants, casually just going to a dinner. And there was
casually going to a dinner.
Yeah. How fun is that for me? You know, like that was great. But I will say that the dinner itself, it's a ball, but they call it a masquerade ball, but it was primarily a sit-down dinner after the cocktail hour. And it's one enormous table that sat about 25, 30 people.
Right.
It was a whole theatrical experience. There were smoke and lights and songs and characters, actors that would come out and greet you as you came in. Like, if they had performers there, it was a really awesome experience there. And they do it every year, but it was my first time doing it this year.
It's a creepy picture, okay? Creepy. We got to take a break. We'll be back with our final thoughts in a moment. Welcome back, everyone, as we wrap up this hour with my son, Michael Battle. It is such a pleasure to have you join us. Thank you so much for sticking with us tonight. Of course, we missed the whole show because of the game, and of course, we won, and I know Jonathan was initially talking about how important it is for him about these teams that he loves. I think KC played today, too, right?
Okay, stop. Hold on.
What?
Hold on. It's not important to me. I'm just relaying information. That's all I'm doing.
I have so much to say. Okay, so let's move on. Michael, I knew that it was Joey sitting in these pictures for the Halloween stuff, but I want to know, where did you get that cape from? That is just, I shouldn't ask you where you got it from, but it really is quite striking.
No, I'll tell you. And again, as a reference, the pictures on Instagram at Michael Battle LA. That cape is from a store here in Los Angeles called Cosmo and Donato. And I bought it from Cosmo himself, and he dresses pop stars and stars, and he's been doing it for a very long time. He does like custom pieces, and this is not a custom piece, it's just one they had in the store. And I got it right after the stores reopened during the pandemic. I was like, I have to go out and do something creative for myself. And I walked in there and I saw that cape with the cutouts, and I bought it because it's actually silver, and I wore that for Halloween, and you said I look like Rick James because it has the tassels on the front.
Yes, because it has the tassels when the hood is on.
The hood is on, it almost looks like I have Rick James hair, right? So that's the same silver robe from Halloween when Joey was a taco, and I had that on. I just turned it inside out, and it's black, and then it has that silver axe on the outside. So I didn't have an outfit until the night before, like I mentioned before. So I just threw some stuff together and made that outfit for the
dinner. You're very good at it. You are very good at it, Michael. My goodness. Before we go, Michael, because you know we only have a little more. How much? Yeah, we only have a couple minutes.
Oh, but wait, but Black Adam, yes. Though.
Oh, Black Adam, go.
Black Adam, okay. The new film coming out this weekend. Have you seen the trailer? Have you heard about it?
I've heard about it, but I haven't seen it, but I've heard about it. Tell me more.
New DC comic film starring The Rock, his first time as a superhero. And obviously the DC comic films have been largely terrible over the years. Many of their characters are much like the ones in Marvel films, but not nearly as successful. Wonder Woman was fantastic. Shazam was also really fun, and this is actually a spinoff of Shazam. But the rest of them that I've seen were just terrible, terrible movies. And Warner Brothers actually just laid off the guy that was the head of all of the DC comics. I should say laid off, really. He left, but we knew it was coming, Walter Hamada. So we'll see who will take the reins of that at Warner Brothers coming up. But to the movie, the conversation, really, all you have to say about this film is talk about Rotten Tomatoes. The official film critic score on Rotten Tomatoes is 39%, which is terrible. Right. That means that most of the real official critics didn't like it. Oh, we're almost done. Audience said 90%.
Oh my gosh.
The audience is right. It's really fun. Ignore the critics. Go see it. It isn't a good movie, but it's very, very fun.
That is so awesome, Michael. You know, I love you, right? And it's so great to have you back. Can't wait to have you back next Sunday. And of course, Jonathan, thanks for all that you do. Good night, everyone. Welcome back, everyone, as we wrap up this hour with my son, Michael Battle. It is such a pleasure to have you join us. Thank you so much for sticking with us tonight. Of course, we missed the whole show because of the game, and of course, we won, and I know Jonathan was initially talking about how important it is for him about these teams that he loves. I think KC played today, too, right?
Stop. Hold on.
What?
Hold on. It's not important to me. I'm just relaying information. That's all I'm doing.
I have so much to say. Okay, so let's move on. Michael, I knew that it was Joey sitting in these pictures for the Halloween stuff, but I want to know, where did you get that cape from? That is just, I shouldn't ask you where you got it from, but it really is quite striking.
No, no, I'll tell you. And again, as a reference, the picture's on Instagram at Michael Battle LA. That cape is from a store here in Los Angeles called Cosmo and Donato. And I bought it from Cosmo himself, and he dresses pop stars and stars, and he's been doing it for a very long time. He does like custom pieces, and this is not a custom piece; it's just one they had in the store. And I got it right after the stores reopened during the pandemic. I was like, I have to go out and do something creative for myself. And I walked in there, and I saw that cape with the cutouts, and I bought it because it's actually silver, and I wore that for Halloween. And you said I look like Rick James. Because it has the tassels on the front.
Yes, because it has the tassels when the hood is on.
When the hood is on, it almost looks like I have Rick James hair, right? So that's the same silver robe from Halloween when Joey was a taco and I had that on. I just turned it inside out and it's black, and then it has that silver axe on the outside. So I didn't have an outfit until the night before, like I mentioned before. So I just threw some stuff together and made that outfit.
Very good at it. You are very good at it, Michael. My goodness. Before we go, Michael, because you know we only have a little more. How much? Yeah, we only have a couple minutes.
Oh, but wait. But Black Adam, yes. Though.
Oh, Black Adam, go.
Black Adam. Okay. The new film coming out this weekend. Have you seen the trailer? Have you heard about it?
I've heard about it, but I haven't seen it. But I've heard about it. Tell me more.
New DC comic film starring The Rock. His first time as a superhero. And obviously the DC comic films have been largely terrible over the years. Many of their characters are much like the ones in Marvel films, but not nearly as successful. Wonder Woman was fantastic. Shazam was also really fun, and this is actually a spinoff of Shazam. But the rest of them that I've seen were just terrible, terrible movies, and Warner Brothers actually just laid off the guy that was the head of all of the DC comics. I should say laid off, really. He left, but we knew it was coming, Walter Hamada. So we'll see who will take the reins of that at Warner Brothers coming up. But to the movie, the conversation, really, all you have to say about this film is talk about Rotten Tomatoes. The official film critic score on Rotten Tomatoes is 39%, which is terrible. Right. That means that most of the real official critics didn't like it. Oh, we're almost done. Audience said 90%.
Oh my gosh.
The audience is right. It's really fun. Ignore the critics. Go see it. It isn't a good movie, but it's very, very fun.
That is so awesome, Michael. You know, I love you, right? And it's so great to have you back. Can't wait to have you back next Sunday. And of course, Jonathan, thanks for all that you do. Good night, everyone.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.